Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Hello and welcome to Creation Animal Care Down on the Farm with Dr. Edie Hannah. Welcome back, Dr. Edie.
Oh, it's so good to be here today. One of my favorite people. So we're gonna visit with Teresa today, and we're actually at her house.
You know, this is a one full year of on the road, on site, and we're in the springtime again.
We are, yep. It is May, and we are in a very beautiful, on a very beautiful farm here in Kimball Township in St. Clair County, which is not too far from where Teresa and I work. And again, if you don't recall, Teresa is one of the best employees you could have. So,
thank you.
But you just can't have her because she's mine. So.
And we started the very first segments over at the clinic that you work at.
Yep, the Humane Society of St. Clair County, SNAP, which stands for spay, neuter, adopt, protect. And we did several episodes there, and we were introduced to Teresa there and her brood. And speaking of brood, that's what we're talking about today. However, the brood that I'm talking about are the dogs, but she has a new addition.
We won't get into that,
but we do have a new addition.
This looks a little bit like a Dalmatian.
Nope.
That's why you guys are the experts.
Go ahead, Teresa. First of all, hi, Teresa.
Hello. This is Rex. Rex came to us from Texas. He was actually on the euthanasia list and pulled by a rescue, and now Rex is here. He is a Catahoula mix.
I have no idea what that is.
He's a working dog.
Oh, what does he do in his day job?
He is T-Rex, and he terrorizes everybody.
How big is he?
He's a baby right now.
16 pounds right now, and he's only 10 weeks old.
Wow, and he's... He's spotted, but is he predominantly black with white spots or white with black spots?
Well, Tom, we're going to see if you have been paying attention in the past, because if you look over there, do you remember seeing?
I have several of those.
Yes. Okay. It's been a whole year.
I know. But do you now remember what kind of coloring markings that we call this?
Just enough to say there's something there.
It's called merle.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Right?
That's
yes.
right.
That's and look,
right.
she's got three dogs, different type breeds. With being the, she's trying to collect a theme, but honestly, it has not been on purpose.
Okay.
But now it's just kind of funny.
I was teasing my husband. I said, even you're gray with blue eyes.
Fits with the pattern.
He's like,
there.
Thanks.
That's great.
Well, I tell you what, Dr. Edie, why do you have a word of prayer for us?
All right. Absolutely. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here at Teresa's property and for her to share her wealth of information on what we are about to learn for chickens and in the future for another type of animal that she has here on the farm. And Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful weather that you have provided us. I ask that you please forgive us for our sins. Help us, Lord, to learn more about you through your creation. And please help the audience to really understand how we are stewards of this earth and what we are supposed to do. So in order for you to come back. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And I wanted to bring one thing out.
Yeah.
Teresa has a wonderful talent for animals. Mm-hmm. She just has a love and care, but she can also kind of read and sense what they need, and seems to be very good at bringing animals to their optimum health.
Oh, she is fantastic. I tell you what, if you want somebody to be able to look at an animal and be able to tell if it's healthy or not, Teresa's one, especially her own, but even not just that, but you know, she and I are on the same page a lot. She's what I call my better half. But honestly, she's such a gift to this in a person that I could have ever asked for. But no, she's amazing at what she does, and her attention to detail for animals is just unmatched sometimes.
Thank you.
I can't ask for a better person to be partnered with in this career. So And you're going to learn exactly what she knows about her own animals. And we are here again in Kimball Township. Beautiful, beautiful day, cloudy, but so nice. And these are the favorites of her life on the farm. So what are they, Teresa?
They are my chickens. Yes, and I have to let them out.
Okay.
I see Bart did not open the door for them today.
And we have stories about chickens for her, and she's got so many different kinds, and we're going to educate you all on those. And because there's a lot of our listeners, I have no doubt, own chickens, right?
Well,
right.
At least they eat the eggs.
That is true. And I can tell you, and Tom, you should know, Teresa has some pretty good egg layers, doesn't she?
She does. You were so kind. She was so kind that on my previous visit, she shared a variety of those eggs.
Come on.
And now the chickens are out. And how many do we have in, this is a hen house.
It is. I have 25 in here. And then I have 6 babies, teenagers now, out back with a hen that was getting picked on. So she's hanging out with the babies currently.
So these are a good 16 inches tall. They look like most of them are adults. Of course, I do see one. As soon as I turn around, I see a
she's actually an adult. She's a small breed.
Small breed, and she's so furry.
She is a silky.
So describe what we're seeing here. We have white ones. We have blended ones. We have all kinds of colors.
We do. We have, these are silver laced Orpingtons. These black ones with the white scalloped. And then the ones with the stripes are barred rocks. This is a cream leg bar. He is a silky rooster. This is a turkin. She does not have any feathers on her neck.
And it's all white with the red head markings where it's bare.
These are light Brahmas. They have feathers on their feet, which is how you know what breed they are.
So they're white and black and...
This is my new rooster. I don't think you met him last time you were here. That is Del. He is a Delaware.
Okay.
He is kind of hard on my hens. If you notice, some of them are missing feathers.
Oh, no.
I also have a bully hen right now who I'm trying to figure out. She's plucking the feathers from my other hens.
So it's bare in the back of, her back there, and down by the tail.
And
on
her head, yes, yes. That is caused from a bully hen. Mm. So this one that is black with the gold neck is a black sexlink. And then the yellow chicken over there is called a buff Orpington.
And that's just kind of a light tan.
Mm-hmm. And then the teenagers are back here. This red one is called a brown leghorn.
Okay. Now tell our listeners about these different breeds that you have. Why is there such a diversity of breeds?
I try to stick with the hardy breeds that do well during the summer. They do well also during the winter. Those are my main egg layers. The silkies are purely for my enjoyment. They are good egg layers, but you need 3 eggs to equal 1 egg.
Oh,
a normal
so size
egg.
Yeah.
But
so eggs come in all sizes?
They do, and colors.
Yes. Could we do that again? No, I'm just kidding.
Nope, we can't.
This hen here is, I got her strictly because she lays blue eggs. So that's what I wanted, was a blue egg layer.
But when you crack it open, it's still going to look like a normal.
Okay, okay.
So the shell is only the coloration.
It's like, doing Easter eggs and coloring them. Huh?
Pretty much, yep, but this is all natural.
Yeah, it's true. Yes. That's true. And you have quite a diversity. You have like 3 to 4. It's not a predominant, you don't have a...
One more than the other.
Yeah, it's pretty even mixture of that. Is that just by chance or...?
It is.
Okay.
It is. I try to get them in pairs. I find that if I get them in pairs, that then they each have a friend.
Okay.
So they always stay in what I learned when I got chickens. I did not know. Chickens, they have best friends.
Yep.
So when I buy them, I try to buy them in pairs, and that way I know that they'll always have a friend.
And that's very important for their social life, actually. Mm-hmm. So, well, first of all, there are like hundreds of chicken breeds out there, and you always want to check, by the way, your local and state laws. Okay,
yes.
So make sure before you do any of that.
So if you could have chickens at your property.
Yeah, you really want to make sure that you're looking into your local and state laws, making sure what is there a proper amount, if you are even allowed to have them at all. But there are some cities, even, you know, not in the country, there's some cities that you're allowed to have a backyard chicken or two. But it really is best, like Teresa said, to have them kept in groups of at least three. Because mm-hmm. they do make friends. And if one should happen to pass, at least there's another one. Now, when Teresa's only started, I mean, she didn't have any chickens when she started at Snap. And she just, she started with four of them. And they were
the golden girls.
And as she was learning, and I was there, and you know, she was learning and about these chickens, man, she could come in so excited. And then here we are with how many here
25.
Today?
25 here and seven back here.
Yeah. So
what I'm gathering from this is you don't have to grow up on the farm in order to have chickens.
That is true. That is true.
I mean, but you can learn, right?
Yeah, you can totally learn. Yeah, because these are very highly social animals, actually. And like I said, these are Teresa's favorite animal on the farm. And then there's a little... Okay.
Kaylee.
We have a little glitch because we have a little link that has a dog escaped its confinement, but not a danger to the chickens. You know why, guys?
Why?
Because it's about as big as a chicken.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
It literally is about that size.
So, Teresa, how long have you had chickens?
I have had chickens for 10 years now.
10 years.
Yes.
What advice do you have to somebody who's starting out from the very beginning, first time ever
research.
With chickens?
Do a lot of research. Chickens are actually a little bit more complicated than you would think. They have to have the proper diet. They also have to be dewormed. They have to be treated for parasites. I keep a heat lamp in their coop in the winter. I know some people are against that, but they actually do prefer to have the heat lamp in there. They lay better. It's a red one, so it's not bright all the time on them. And I have done a lot of research on them. I know what they like. I have certain birds that eat certain things, so I buy seven different types of food every month.
Boy, you got picky eaters.
I do. And they all are actually doing pretty well. We did have a pretty rough winter, so they were in the coop a lot. And that actually stressed them out a little bit, I think, because they are so used to free ranging all the time. It was so cold this past winter. So.
But you know what's amazing is that pretty much every winter she'd be like, oh my goodness, I have so many eggs, do you want some? And I'm like, yeah. Where other people were like, man, my chickens are not laying eggs in the winter. It's look how they're loved and they're cared for so particularly,
and they have a nice life.
They do. And but she has so many eggs that she has in the winter, so it helps me a lot. But what a blessing that is, you know, because that means that they're happy.
Yes.
That truly means that they're happy. So it is so important that, again, you look into exactly what you want, but you have to take care of them anywhere from their diet to their bedding to their lighting. They even get, you know, they can even have toys. You have to provide them certain enrichment. You have to know that you have to clean them. I mean, there's still cleaning involved. Even though we're in the outside world here, there still has to be cleaning. She'll come in every so often and say, oh, I deep cleaned, you know, the chicken coop, you know, today or this weekend or whatever. And it's still a lot of maintenance that goes on. Even though they're roaming, they're free roaming, there's still a lot of maintenance that goes on.
And that, like, how many hours, you know, you've got 25 plus 7, so you got 32.
I do.
What, if a person has four chickens, how much maintenance do, I mean, how hard is it to deworm them?
When you have 32, it's a struggle. And you have to have a partner.
No. Yes. Is it something you put in their food, or is this you have to handle the animal?
You have to handle everyone individually, and they all have to have the proper dosage.
Is this oral, or is it a suppository?
Nope, it actually absorbs through the skin.
Okay, so you rub it on their skin?
Yeah. I do, okay. Yes.
Okay. Yep. What other maintenance do you have for chickens?
The roosters, they actually have spurs, and I have to trim those regularly.
So for your health and others?
The roosters I have now are actually very nice, and they're very nice to their mom.
Okay.
But to protect the hens, I trim them to protect him so he doesn't get himself or get that caught on anything. And currently I have 3 roosters. I have 2 silkies, and then they have the big Delaware.
Aren't they just beautiful birds?
Oh, absolutely. I wish our listeners could see these.
I know.
They could go online and call up their computer and look up the Delawares and and the Silkies.
And what else?
I have Leghorns, Black Sex Lynx, Silver-Laced Orpington, Barred Rock, Cream Leg Bar, and I have the Buff Orpington as well.
Now, Teresa's son does 4-H. So some of the chickens in the past that she has had have come from her son raising them. In fact, she's got a couple that are in progress right now.
I do.
Okay.
His showbirds are kept back here.
Okay. Are these the teenagers?
Yes. And then we also have Jelly. She's the babysitter.
Okay. they need a babysitter, huh?
They don't. But the roosters were getting a little too rough with Jelly, so Jelly is separated for now.
Oh, okay.
So the ones in the back, those are...
Describe the coloration.
They're mostly black with white flecking.
Okay, flecking.
Like that. They're not merle.
Okay, just to let you know. You guys keep throwing these terms at me.
And they are actually Silver-Laced Wyandottes.
Okay.
So that is a totally another breed, a different one than what I have out here. She is a Cochin. If you notice the feathers, that she has very poofy feathers on her backside that go all the way down and cover her feet. She looks like she's wearing pants.
Yeah.
So
now, if you guys are interested, I'm sure many areas have 4-H programs that your kids can get involved in.
What a powerful program. It does wonderful things for young people.
Yeah, it really does.
Even if you aren't a farmer.
That is true. And Teresa would know more about that because she's been so involved in the past couple of years, especially helping her son, who, by the way, is an amazing kid, for those that you need to know. Okay,
he is. So, thank you.
But he has worked very hard, and he takes his job very seriously, but he has also learned so much. But, you know, there are distinct things and it helps kids learn how to take care of these animals as well, because he has to provide the proper, you know, diet as well. Say mom was out of the picture, you know, he's literally going through the steps of making sure these are all taken care of. He would, because before Teresa wouldn't house them on her property. She actually went somewhere else, at somebody else's property. And
the reason for that?
Go ahead.
He was involved with the 4-H club, and we kept everybody together so everybody could learn together, clean together, and do everything as a club and as a group.
So they would go after school or something?
Yes. Yes. And everybody had designated chores. Certain kids had certain things to do on certain days. And it was also good for my socialization, too. I got to hang out with the other mothers. But now, with Colton being older, he is more hands-on, and he wanted to keep them here and do everything on his own. So that is why they're here now.
So he's passed through that stage, and now he can work more independently.
Yes.
Under your supervision.
Yes,
and guidance.
Can.
Now let's talk about how she acquired some of these chickens. Because, you know, sometimes they're mail order chickens. But there's a few on this property that she actually got. Mm-hmm. Do you want to explain how you got some of these chickens?
The ones that I hatched on this property?
Yes. In your bedroom?
In my bedroom, in an incubator.
So how did you get those, how did you come about hatching those? Why did you collect some eggs, Teresa?
My husband was so kind to lock up my birds at night for me. Everybody is locked up safe and secure away from the predators. And he did not make sure my favorite chicken was in the coop. Her name was Cricket, and Cricket was left out in the fenced-in area and eaten by a raccoon. So I came out the next morning and was totally devastated. And I went in the house, and I just happened to have 7 of Cricket's eggs on the counter. So I borrowed an incubator from my coworker, and I put the incubator in the bedroom so I could monitor my babies.
Okay.
And all 7 of those eggs hatched in the middle of the night. And when eggs hatch, which it was my first time, they scream, like they chirp very loudly for at least 5 minutes. And they all hatched at different times. That was a very long night because you can't open the incubator and get them out. They have to have a certain temperature and a certain humidity, and they have to be in there for 48 hours to absorb the yolk sac from the egg. So my husband had to have chickens in his bedroom for a while.
Because he left
Cricket out. So all of the silkies that are here are actually Cricket's babies.
Second generation,
orphans.
So do you remember the story of Job where he lost some family members and then multiplied by like 9? Well, she lost 1 family member multiplied by 7.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So my husband, he's like, I don't understand. He goes, I'm sorry, you lost 1 chicken. He goes, but now we have 7 more. So now it's a joke that every time I lose a chicken, I'm like, I have to go get 7 more chickens. He's like, no.
But what a you know, amazing thing to not only, you know, to be able to hatch your own chickens that, you know, in your bedroom. And that was her first time doing that. It's not like she did that. She did her research, and my goodness, what a blessing. To have that happen, and they all come out healthy, and you know, they were introduced. Now, one of the things that you have to keep the babies away from the adults for quite some time.
Yes. I actually have, I have 1, 2, 3, 4 pens that they start out in, and as they grow, they get in a bigger pen. They like upgrade. And then this is called the teenager pen, and they stay out here where they can still socialize with everybody else and get used to them before they are introduced to the flock. Because unfortunately, chickens are savages. They will actually kill each other and kill a new, if I were to go out and get a new chicken and just toss it in here, my flock would kill that chicken, unfortunately. And that's just, every chicken is like that. So everybody has to be introduced properly and socialized, and it will not be a problem once I open that door because they have been out here for a couple of months now.
It is so important to quarantine any new chickens, and some of them about 10 days typically for the adults.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. I actually quarantine them in the horse barn away from everybody.
Is that also for disease?
Yes. So. Yeah. You totally want to protect them from transmission of diseases because that can be common.
Now,
somebody's laying us breakfast right now.
Really?
Yeah, you hear that? That's the egg laying call.
Is it really?
It is. She's letting you know she did her job.
Okay.
Aww. Do you see how distinct, though, Tom, that she is so and keen to the animals around her? Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, our listeners heard that here. It's that twirl, that twitter. There's 2 sounds there, 2 or 3 sounds.
This is the egg laying call here.
Seems
she just laid an egg. And then the other one you're hearing is the rooster on the other side.
So you can get closer if you can't hear it.
She's like, I did it.
I did it. I'm glad we don't do that when we lay.
Right? I'm glad we don't lay eggs.
Well, we kind of do, just internally a little bit. Well, too much information for Tom there.
That's right.
Okay.
I assume we're heading towards the pheasants.
Well,
peacocks.
They're peacocks.
I'm sorry.
But we should start that at our next segment.
Okay.
But we have a lot to still talk about chickens.
Yes.
That's the thing.
Well,
we had to talk about
things.
Yeah. So always get a supply checklist, making sure. But you want a minimum habitat of 2.5 to 3 square feet of indoor space. Okay. Plus 5 to 10 square feet of outdoor space per adult. You want to make sure that your habitat is predator proof.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
What kind of predators?
We have raccoons, we have fox, we have coyote. The possums don't mess with my chickens so much as eat the eggs. I one time did not know I had a little interloper in the coop. He would hide on me. It was a baby possum, and he would sleep in the food dish.
Oh.
And he would wait for them to lay the eggs, and then he would eat all the eggs.
Oh my goodness.
I finally caught him one day. But he never once messed with the chickens. It was just the eggs.
That's a blessing. You want to make sure there are nesting boxes.
Yes.
Okay, make sure there are nesting boxes. At least one box per 3 to 4 hens. Is that what you have here?
I have 9.
Okay.
Yes.
In a dark, quiet area and elevated. So a lot of these little pens look like sheds. So they're very similar to sheds, but you know, build them however you want to build them.
This one's about 4 by 5 and about 6 feet tall.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then, and for temperature wise, a lot of them do a little bit better in cold, in the cold than the heat, right?
Yes.
And why is that?
I believe it's the down feathers. A lot of them have a lot more feathers. The breeds that I like have a lot more feathers to keep them warmer than some of the fancier breeds. So these guys do very well. I only have one heat lamp in there, and then they regulate it with their body temperature. So my coop stays at about 34 degrees all winter. And then in the summer, it's very important that they have proper ventilation. So mm-hmm. I have a window that I put up in the winter and I take down in the summer so that they always have a breeze in their coop.
And there are heat risks too.
So, there are.
And what can happen is they
yes.
can decrease egg production
yes.
if it's too hot. They will lessen their appetite, which is not healthy for them. And they can even be too stressed and cause death. So we just want to make sure those things are really taken care of. They're so particular. You think that you see chickens roaming all, you know, most of the season, and they love the hot weather, but they really don't.
Mine get corn popsicles all summer. I put canned corn in muffin tins and I add water and I freeze it for them and they get popsicles.
Oh wow. Well, we're going to take a break here. You're listening to Creation Animal Care with Dr. Edie Hanna and Tom Azure, and we'll be right back after this break.
This is Ruthie Calkins from Tustin. The Bible tells us that heaven will be the dwelling place of God's friends. That's why I'm so excited about supporting Strong Tower Radio. Their unique blend of thought-provoking speakers, stirring inspirational messages, and heartwarming music reaches into the lives and hearts of each listener, helping them to develop and cherish a friendship with God. If this radio station has been a blessing to you and your family, why not join me and hundreds of others in supporting Strong Tower Radio with a financial gift? They're 100% listener-supported and could really use your help right now. You can send your check to Strong Tower Radio, Post Office Box 567, Cadillac, Michigan 49601. Or you can visit their secure website to use your credit card at strongtowerradio.org. Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
Hello and welcome back to Creation Animal Care with Dr. Edie Hanna. We are down on the farm at Teresa's farm, Teresa and Bart's farm, mm-hmm. here in southeastern Michigan near Port Huron in what township?
Kimball Township. In St. Clair County.
And Dr. Edie, we had a few things left over. We talked about chickens, but you always give us that wonderful care and the background. So
detail. The, you know, what's it say? Is it what's in the detail? I don't know.
I'm not going to go
that
there.
That saying. All right. Okay, but you know, we want to talk about detail because one of the things that their diet, because they can't just have anything. Okay, so they can have a variety of things. I know that personally, I'll bring stuff to Teresa and be like, here, this is for your chickens. And it'll be like random things like rice and watermelon and, you know, fruit that I didn't eat or something like that. And they can have a lot of those things. It's just that everything is in moderation and there's only a certain percentage sometimes that they're allowed to have. But they're omnivorous, which means that they eat, you know, a little bit of meaty creatures, and they eat the plant. So
they do.
So I will let Teresa tell you about what she feeds hers and what really the requirements are for these guys to be healthy.
Mine get quite the variety. They have to have at least 20% protein in order for proper feather repair. That's what helps the feathers, proper egg production. They have to have a certain level of calcium. They have to have some grit to keep in their crop, or else they can get what is called impacted crop. So the grit helps move everything through there. Mine get mealworms, they get sunflower seeds, they get a variety of specialty wild bird seeds mixed in with their high protein layer crumble. They also get certain, I give them red flake chili peppers and marigold, dried marigold. They get oregano, they have a blend. It's a special blend that I order for them to keep them parasite free, in addition to what I have to treat normally.
And it depends on their life stage too. So yes. They can't all like just start with all of these items. It depends on their life stage. And there's three types. There's the starters, which are what, less than 6 weeks.
Yes.
There's the growers, which are 6 to 16 weeks. And then there's the layers, which are greater than 16 weeks of age.
Yes.
So they each section has to have their own type of nutrition.
And everybody gets vitamins and electrolytes in their water daily.
Yep. So fresh water daily too.
Yes.
So that's important.
Question, you know, there was a spike in egg prices and so on and so forth. Do you know how much it costs you for a dozen eggs? The production cost?
I have not bought eggs in 10 years from the store, but mine are a very expensive eggs. I spend $70 every 2 weeks on feed from the local feed store, and that does not count the additional supplements that I purchase online. So I spend $80 a month on their mealworms, and then I spend probably another $60 a month on their specialty supplement.
Over the 32 chickens.
Yes. And the teenagers, which are the growers, they actually just started. We are transitioning them now from their grower food into adult food.
Yep. And then with the live insects, it's the mealworms. They can do crickets, and
yes.
You know what? What's great is chickens are great at tick eating.
We need those.
How many? I mean, I know you've found ticks, of course, on your property. They can't cover every, piece of this property. But what would you say has been? Have you noticed a decrease in the amount of ticks?
Oh yes, absolutely. I only found maybe 3 ticks all of last summer when I first moved in to this property. It was daily. You would find at least 12 on you.
Oh my.
It was a lot.
It was infestation.
It was bad. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. The chickens are very, very helpful.
Amen to that. That's great. But there are restrictions on what kind of foods that they're not allowed to have.
Okay.
So I'm not going to bring her my avocado pits or my avocado peels. I'm not going to bring her any onions or garlic, things like that.
Good thing they don't grow, I mean, at least the avocados don't grow locally.
Right.
Right. And my understanding is they can't have even like beans, certain undercooked or dried beans. They shouldn't. So,
that is correct.
Yeah, because that can actually cause... It can cause some blood issues. It can inhibit clotting of their blood. So again, all these little things people have to understand and do their research, because it is so important for their health and maintenance. But for egg laying, let's talk about egg laying a little bit. One a day
for some breeds. Other breeds are less than that. And then the fancy breeds are maybe one every 2 weeks. So it depends on how many eggs you want. You definitely want to do your research on the breeds. I have 3 of the Leghorns because they lay daily. I do get an egg from them every single day. And then I have other ones that I'll get an egg every other day. And then also, a chicken is born with every single egg they're ever going to lay in their life. So they eventually do run out. And when they run out, they just live here happy and eat. So, and then I replace them. I do have several chickens that are over 7 years old. So they don't lay as often as they did when they were younger.
Yeah. And also, too, they don't start egg laying until they're about 18 weeks, right? Mm-hmm. So
my silkies didn't lay until they were 8 months.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's talk about peacocks.
Why are you just trying to jump into the peacocks? What about medicine?
Oh, we have to
talk about some diseases that they can get, because that's so important. Because actually, chickens do have to be vaccinated, but a lot of them are vaccinated before they even get to the person. Did you know that they can vaccinate in the egg itself? So, and a lot of that, you know, is done elsewhere, clearly, but there are certain diseases that you want to make sure that you are protecting it against, and that is Marek's disease, mm-hmm. which is a contagious viral disease.
It is.
And that's the one that you can actually inject while it's in the egg or even shortly after it's hatched. But common illnesses that they have are parasites.
Yes, they can get chicken lice, they can get mites. That is actually more common than you think. There are different types of mites. There's the scaly leg mites and then also a depluming mite that they can get.
So how would you know, based on what I see here, the difference between whether they're molting naturally, whether they've been pecked by another chicken, or whether it's an actual parasite?
I can tell the difference in the way the pattern is that the feathers are falling off.
Okay.
So the molting normally starts underneath and then they tend to drop all their feathers a lot all at once. And then also with the molting, the new feathers are growing back right away. And I can tell with my chickens right now, the ones that the rooster prefers, the bigger rooster, versus the one that the hen is picking on. The one that the rooster prefers is missing the feathers on her wings. And then the other one is like the middle of her back. I actually have a camera set up in there right now and I spy on them so I can figure out who it is.
No privacy, huh?
Surprise, right? It's called Chicken TV, and I'm sure that it's watched on a regular basis. But if they had mites, what would you see?
You notice more that they are like biting at themselves. They're not really biting, but they're like grooming themselves, and they're very uncomfortable. You can tell when something's bothering them by the way that they're acting. They'll be dusting a lot, and they do that naturally to repel the mites, but it'll be a lot more than what they normally do. They'll be really grooming themselves under their wings and on their back, stuff like that.
Yeah, like a dog is.
Yes, like a dog that has fleas scratching, and you can tell that something's not quite right.
Okay. All right, so those are diseases that definitely, well, diseases or parasites, things that you want to look out for and taking care of them. They can even get ringworm,
E.
coli,
yes.
And something that they're, so the two main diseases are the Marek's disease and Newcastle disease. And of course, the big thing the past couple of years has been the avian influenza.
Yes.
They are, you know, very easily susceptible to that, just like anything else. Okay.
A big one around here is fowl pox, which is carried by the mosquitoes. And there's no way to prevent fowl pox. It's actually kind of like chicken pox in a human. You just have to let it run its course. But once they get it, they don't get it again. So it's nice.
It's not fatal?
It is not.
Are they going to get shingles later in life?
I hope not.
Because, you know, that seems to be happening too. But they can get ovarian cancer. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, they can.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
I do believe I had one that passed from that we...
Yes, that we took a look deeper inside.
To verify what was
after
happening.
It passed. We looked a little bit further on the internal sections of that. So anyway, but so they can get a variety of diseases. So let's discuss what are the signs of a healthy chicken.
The healthy chickens, they are fluffy. You always want to watch their cloaca because...
What's that?
It is where the egg comes out.
Okay, thank you.
You're always watching the feathers to make sure that everything is clean, they don't have diarrhea. I always watch their legs to see what's going on with their legs. And I actually will look at their eggs, because normally eggs come out of the same hole that they have to poop. So if there is something stuck on the egg, I can usually tell which chicken is having a problem. So really? I will do that as
because
well.
Because of the color and the
because
size.
Because of the color, the size. Yes, I know who lays what egg.
They put their own signature. No.
They put their own chicken scratch on it.
Yes.
Made by.
I listen for coughing, sneezing. I watch their eyes. Mm-hmm. I make sure their ears are clear. I watch for any swelling on their comb or their wattles. And then I watch how they're acting. If I have an active chicken that is just kind of laying there, something's wrong if they're not laying an egg.
Yeah. So those are very important things to keep an eye out, because there are signs of a healthy chicken, and then that way if you look so closely at your chickens, then you can tell which ones are sick. So, and not all of them will become sick at once. If they do, then you know you have a serious problem.
Right.
Okay, so unfortunately that was the whole avian influenza situation where, you know, it was wiping out a full brood.
Full flocks.
So, flocks.
I actually lost two just recently to, we as chicken tenders call it water belly, which is actually congestive heart failure in a chicken. And it's not always caught right away because they're very good at hiding things. They will start walking kind of like a penguin and have they'll go backwards, and then their stomach goes down, and unfortunately there's nothing that you can do to prevent that. That is something that they do develop, so we had to humanely euthanize them. It is something that happens that you have to watch out for as well, because it's very painful for them.
So imagine knowing your individual animal, like 32 of them all at the same time, you know. And that's what God does. God watches
all of us
at one time, and he knows each of us individually, just like Teresa knows her chickens individually.
I love that analogy. Well, you know, it talks about a mother hen.
It does. When the chicks, you know, flock underneath and the mother hen is protecting, that's what God does for us. Oh. So we have to remember that you can find a lesson in these animals all the time, you know, and it's not that hard to find either. And you can always reflect God in nature. So awesome. Well, Tom.
Do I get to see my peacock now?
Yes. Yes, you can see.
You've been
the
holding
peacock.
Back on me here.
I know. Well, in addition to Teresa, Teresa's chickens, she also has some peacocks.
I do.
And these are also called peafowl. So the male is actually the peacock.
Okay.
Okay. But generally, because it's so well known, just to call them all peacocks. And then the female is the peahen. And Teresa has a new addition to the family of the peacocks. So we will talk about her. All right. But what do you know about peacocks, Tom?
The male has a beautiful plume. When it gets to the adult stage, it struts around and flutters it a little bit, and maybe part of the mating process.
Yeah, because they have to look beautiful. That's the only way they're going to get their mate, right? Because they're not very bright sometimes.
He dances for them.
Well. He does it a little dance. Also, I was trying to think of something else that they were talking about. Oh, peacocks are proud. You ever heard proud as a peacock. Yep. So,
yes.
That's also something else that we can do a biblical reference as well. But these are very beautiful birds, and she's had them for how long? Well, the two, but
Mango and Kiwi are going to be six this year, and I bought them as chicks.
Yep. And those chicks then grew up and had some chicks.
They did.
Yeah. So, but she's been through quite a few, and her stories, I'm telling you, it's always great to look forward to hearing her stories, because she has quite a few that honestly, you can see God in those too, because there were answers to prayer, especially for
Kiwi.
Kiwi. Yes.
Kiwi last September. Bart was going to get hay for the horses.
That's your husband's going to get hay for the horses.
She is not scared of anything, so she jumped on the trailer and went down the driveway and down the road with Bart. Bart wasn't expecting Kiwi to be on the trailer, so I was running down the driveway, and I didn't have my phone, so I had to turn around
Bart!
And call him, and I said, Kiwi's on the trailer, stop. So he stopped down by this house over here. Well, then she...
quarter mile or so.
Yeah.
Which is really not that far. You know, considering the surroundings, it's really, truly not that far.
And she was scared and jumped off and ran into the woods. So I looked for her for hours and I could not find Kiwi.
So one problem led to another.
So I was playing peacock noises. I was having Mango call for her.
What is a peacock noise?
Their mating call.
Can you do one for us?
I cannot. Mango might be able to. So, and I did not find her.
For how long?
For 3 months.
Three months,
Tom. Now, keep that in mind. 3 months.
Okay.
So, Mango was very sad that his mate was gone, and I had two of their, they were no longer chicks. They're full grown. They were 2 years old. But I connected with a lady down on the Ohio border who raises and breeds peacocks. I traded his two children for a new mate for him, and that is Coconut. She is new in there. After I brought Coconut home, somebody reached out to me and said, is your peahen still missing? I think I found her. So
3 months, Tom.
Oh. 3 months later, from September, this was December now. And sure enough, it was Kiwi. So my husband went and caught my bird for me and brought her home. She was
in his lap.
In his lap in the truck.
Driving.
He carried the I have photo proof.
I know. So, she's got such a great husband. I'm sorry, she does.
He brought Kiwi home. She was so happy to see Mango, and then she was like, wait a minute. Who's the new girl?
Oh no.
So now Mango has two mates.
So there's two ladies in Mango's life. You want to go meet them?
Sure.
All right, let's head to there.
Actually, the ladies, I spend more time together, and Mango's by himself.
That's okay. They can gossip.
Where are you at, buddy?
All right. Well, the sad part is while the peacock is proud, the peahens will gossip. So both of them have some issues.
And wow, he's
oh my goodness, Tom, do you want to do some descriptions here?
This is a horse stall, and
it
so
is.
He's up there a good 7 feet, and he's strutting across that. His tail is all of 6 feet
long. I was going to say 6 feet. I'm learning from you, Tom. I'm learning
okay.
to do the measurements of 6 feet.
And when he fans out, he is over 9 feet wide.
Wow.
Yes. And this is Kiwi.
Kiwi's all, now she's up in the rafters just a little higher.
Yes.
She's kind of gray, brown and tan. And
she's his original mate. She is actually that color for protection and camouflage.
Okay.
So when they're sitting on their nest, they blend in with their surroundings. That's why she does not have the bright colors.
And she does not have that extensive plume and tail.
It's like 6 inches long.
Hers, exactly. But beautiful, beautiful birds. Now, if I tell you, Tom, that there are actually three species of peacocks, there's the Congo, which are from Africa. There's the Javanese. And then there's the Indian, and those are more domesticated. But of the Javanese and the Indian, the Javanese have they're green, and they're from Java and Burma. And then the Indian and India and Sri Lanka, they are blue. Which one would you say Mango is?
Oh boy! I see blue.
Okay. Yeah, they're Indian.
Okay.
Yep.
Indian. Is that the one we see most often, or when we think of a peacock?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's actually what is called silver pied. He has a white gene. So most of them don't have the white feathers that he has.
So that's kind of on their sides and on their underbreast.
Yes.
And the nice thing about the Indian species is that they can actually tolerate the colder climates a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And they can also live with other poultry without fighting so much.
Okay.
So that's the nice part about them. Hi.
Hi, Mango.
Look at that beautiful. See how the light just hits that color?
Iridescent.
Oh, my goodness. It's like a cobalt blue.
That was so well described. And it's also on the comb and on the neck and breast and on the head.
Absolutely beautiful. And like Teresa said, the females are typically brown, but they don't, you know, they don't need to be that beautiful. Because, again,
they have a job to do.
Yeah, exactly. Men don't. All right. And then the breeding season. It is actually breeding season, isn't it?
It is. And Mango's being very quiet for breeding season.
I know. So, but it is the spring. The spring is breeding season.
Yes.
And it can last until...
usually about mid-July.
Okay. All right. And that's... that's the best part. You know why, Tom?
Why is that?
Because I'm going to get some cat toys out of Mango.
Cat toys?
So. Yep. Likes when he drops his tail.
I like when he drops his tail feathers.
And
so you just kind of wiggle and twitch it and the cats go crazy.
It's the best toy for cats.
Really?
I kid you not. Once she gave me some last year, every single cat just absolutely loves it.
Mesmerized by it.
And even Ison can be mesmerized by it.
He doesn't look like he has very many feathers in that tail. There are a lot. I have to pick them up. Oh, there's so many. And not only do they lose their tail feathers, they also lose their wing feathers or their flight feathers as well.
Okay.
So.
And they do fly.
They fly very far, very high.
Yep. That's how Kiwi ended up probably where she was.
She was 2.5 miles north of us.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Especially when Bart only drove
a quarter mile down
the road. She started right here on our road and ended up 2.5 miles that way.
Wow.
What treatment do we have of the peacocks and peafowl?
Well, actually, do you know that there are literally no vaccines for the peacocks? They don't have to be vaccinated.
They're healthy species.
For the most part, yeah. You still have to take care of them, you know, considering, you know, with the whole avian influenza, things mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. And there is avian pox, and they do get something called blackhead disease, which can affect their liver and cause some very yellow diarrhea. But they don't get vaccinated, but you still have to maintain their health with their whole environment, with their diet and things like that. So what kind of diet do you feed yours?
They are on an even higher protein than the chickens. They get what is called game bird, which is 30%, and then their mealworms. They love their mealworms. Everybody here gets lots of fresh fruit, fresh vegetables. I am very limited on the bread. Bread is a treat and they love it, but bread will make them obese. They can get obese, and that is very hard on their legs for the peacocks and the chickens. So bread is limited, but they get lots of rice.
They have to watch the carbs.
They do. They do.
They do. And so when the hen lays eggs, how many did you get in your clutch?
One of them was 9 and one of them was 15. They will actually continue to lay if you don't mess with the eggs. If you take the eggs, then they stop laying. So
she said 15 and 1, but you know, the average is actually 6. They can lay 4 to 12. So that just goes to show again how well they were taken care of. Yes. If she's gotten 15 out of one hen.
Overachievers.
Nothing like their mother ever.
Kiwi. Kiwi has not laid any eggs yet this year. Coconut is going to be 2 this summer, so she will start laying eggs, but they will not be viable until she's 3. So they start laying a whole year before the eggs will hatch with actual chicks.
Wow.
And I've eaten some of the peacock eggs, peahen eggs, and they're actually really good. They're huge.
Kaylee prefers them to the chicken eggs.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're actually pretty nice sized. So so what else kind of environment do they need? And first of all, let's reiterate, they cannot have the same diet as the chickens. Okay,
no.
So just keep that in mind. All right.
No, they have to have the higher protein, more vitamins, more minerals. They're a little bit more delicate, especially as chicks. They are very susceptible to coccidia. They cannot be raised around chickens or anywhere that has had any coccidia. They have to be kept off of the ground for at least the first 2 months of their lives. So, my husband built me this wonderful horse barn, which has now turned into my peacock barn because they have to be up in the rafters. every spring, which we have not had time to get to this year, we power wash the inside of this whole barn. Everything is scraped out. So that is coming up. We have to do that soon. I try to keep everything super clean for them. So they're very susceptible to certain diseases, parasites. They are fragile. They can get sick very easily.
Mm-hmm. Did you see Coconut? Did you see that?
She's over here.
Yeah, come look. And describe to the audience what you see.
No, she's like an albino, but she's not. She's white, and where the other one is gray and more earth tone. I mean, brown and earth tone. So,
she is what is called opal. Her color is opal, and she is actually a black shoulder. That is her breed. She's still Indian, but it is called black shoulder. So the males, like Mango, only where Mango's wings have the brown scallops, a black shoulder has black wings.
Very nice.
So they have actually bred peacocks to produce all sorts of different colors now. So they have purple shoulders, they have the silver pied like Mango, and then they have the black shoulders. Oh, I think he's going to go outside. Coconut is not scared of much. She likes to fly, and she does not care if you're in her way. She will just hit you. So when I go to let her out, I have to get out of the doorway because her preferred method is to fly straight out the door and land in the grass. Mm. And she's actually hit me in the back once. So I've learned my lesson. And then also, Rex was out doing chores with me the other night, and she was chasing him.
Oh my goodness. So, I bet that was adorable.
It was cute. So
now yes, when Teresa first got her, she had to maintain, you know, property boundaries as well. So she had to stay in here.
She did. Peacocks are kind of like homing pigeons. They have a sense of where their home base is. So they have to be contained for several months before they can be let out to free range. Some peacocks can never free range. They won't stick around. I know a woman who had her peacock for actually 13 years, and one day he walked out of the barn, he flew away, and he never came back. Mm. I'm not sure why. He had a mate there. They can be pretty finicky. These guys, hopefully they love it here, so they tend to stick around. They stay close. Even with the door being open, they prefer to be in their home. So they can go out here. And I actually, when I first got Coconut, she was not locked in this barn. She had access to the outside, but I had this covered so she couldn't fly out. But
with
now
a good 8-foot fence, 8 to 9 foot fence.
Yes, and I had poultry netting up there.
Wow, we've had a wonderful visit, and our hour on
that's Coconut.
Okay.
On chickens and peafowl is completed. Edie, any final comments?
No, I just think that, you know, her birds are so well taken care of, and it just actually makes them more beautiful. I really do. I think taking care of animals in the proper form and the proper way really intensifies their beauty and their what God intended for them to be. I really do. So.
Well, for Creation Animal Care, Dr. Edie Hanna, Tom Mazur for Strong Tower Radio Network. Bye now.
Bye.